Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I went into the bishop one day and I just said, I want to get baptized. And he's like, you can't get baptized. I'm like, why can't I get baptized? And he's like, because you come from a polygamous family.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Saints Unscripted. We are super happy to be here with our friend Liz. And guys, she has such a cool story. You're going to love this, okay? We've also got Cam here, Caitlin, if in case you forgot our names. I don't know, we have a few hosts and we kind of rotate in and out. But anyways, not the point.
Make with the story.
Liz, we are so glad you're here. Thank you for coming on our show today.
Well, I feel so blessed to be able to be on here. You know, a while ago, I didn't know that I could actually be on something like this and tell a story.
Right?
Because it takes a long time to get from one moment to the next moment of your life and to be able to be okay to be able to tell that story.
Yeah, definitely. Life leads you in places you just wouldn't imagine, which I think is part of the beautiful aspects of it, just because God knows us and he knows exactly where we need to be at the right time. So we'd love to hear you just kind of give us an introduction of why you are at this place in your life. How did it start?
So I come from a different type of a family, and within the church, we know a lot about it and because it comes from our history, but we don't practice it anymore. And that's because I came from a polygamous family. And, you know, growing up, I had a mom, but I had a dad, but my dad had four wives. And so it was a lot different growing up being in that type of a situation. And when I was young, we moved into a neighborhood. I was only 5 years old, but there was a family that was down the street. And there was so many different other people in that neighborhood were not excited that we came into the neighborhood. I mean, think about it. I think now that there's more awareness and, you know, also more acceptance and love. But at that time, people were kind of like, that's a part of our history we don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And you're right here in our neighborhood, and we really don't want you here.
Yeah.
Right?
And a lot of the polygamy we hear about are in
cult,
combines?
Like cult.
Yeah, they're more in groups. But in your case, you were just in a neighborhood.
We were actually on the East Bench side of the Salt Lake Valley, and it was a new upcoming area where they have these new, brand new homes. And all of a sudden, my dad goes up there and buys four different homes.
Wow.
In a nice area, you know, because my dad always had the philosophy that there only could be one woman in a home.
Okay.
I think it's because he didn't want to have to deal with the fighting.
Cat fight.
And truth. So we get there to this neighborhood, and of course, they're kind of feeling, you know, put off by that. What? Mm-hmm. We just built these really nice homes, and polygamists are moving in next to us. And so it was just kind of like a culture shock for them that they had to adjust with. But there was a family that was down the street, and they actually befriended our family. And they didn't care what kind of a family we came from. And the dad was a lawyer, and my dad had his own business. My dad actually was the first one to invent bedwetters for kids that wet the bed. And
oh, really?
It was being sold all over the world. And
wow.
So this guy was a lawyer, and my dad became friends with him, and he became the lawyer for the company at the time. And so they ended up having this really good relationship. Well, he came to my dad's office one day and just asked if he could take us to church. And because my dad was friends with him, he ended up telling him yes, that
wow.
he could.
What
and so
good guy.
Every single Sunday, their family would show up with their yellow and brown a minivan at the time then. Yellow, I don't remember minivan. Those.
Riding in style.
Yes, they would open up their door, and whatever of us kids wanted to go to church that day would go to church. Now, my parents at the time, you know, it's because, like, well, why aren't they going to the polygamous church, you know? Mm-hmm.
Did you have a building that you would go to?
Yes,
like a polygamous.
Yeah, they were part of the AUB, which is the All Red Group. They're in Bluffdale area. And, you know, my parents would go, but they wouldn't go every single week. Mm-hmm. And there was just some struggles that they were having with the group out there. And so my dad felt that this would be a great opportunity for us to go to church every week.
Were the teachings between the two churches similar?
They are very similar. They just believe, like, this is coming from my dad's word of how he describes it, but that it's kind of like he was living in college and those that were just regular members of the church were in high school. Mm. And okay. So, you know, it's like, yes, you need to have that elementary, the middle school, the high school, and the college experience, right?
Yeah.
He felt that he had moved on to the college experience, and we were just in the high school. So, of course, it's like you're still getting that great foundation. You still have a lot of the same teachings. They just believe that that's a higher law that you're supposed to live. And, you know, and I don't know exactly, like, all the stuff that the polygamous religion, because each religion sect, kind of polygamous religion sect, they teach different things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just taking it from what my parents had taught me, that, you know, basically they were in college, we're in high school, and so it's good for us to at least get that college degree. The high school degree, right? And so we would go to church with them almost every single week. And as I got older, as I started to get older and stuff like that, I wanted to become a member of the church. I was 8 years old, and here everyone else is getting baptized, and I wasn't. And mm-hmm. I went into the bishop one day, and I just said, I want to get baptized. And he's like, you can't get baptized. I'm like, why can't I get baptized? And he's like, because you come from a polygamous family. And since you come from a polygamous family, you have to wait until you're 18 and moved out of the house. It was really hard because here are all these missionaries were going out, right? And baptizing. And here I wanted to get baptized and they told me no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad really struggled that I wanted to be more involved with the church. My mom felt that whatever makes her happy is what I want her to do, you know? And so I think that really comes down to, though, is your mom is raising you the most when you're in a polygamous family, mm-hmm. because your dad, to where we had separate houses, he was only there every, you know, two out of
like
the 8 days.
Like a quarter of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so your mom kind of knows what you're going through and, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to get baptized, and but I couldn't. So I ended up moving away to college, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to call my old bishop, and I'm going to ask him if I could get baptized. And he was like, you know what? Yeah, let's get you set up with the missionaries. And so I had to start out being like I was a full, like just a new convert. Mm-hmm. That's how they have to, if you get baptized after the age of 8, you have to just start as a new convert. So I had to go through all of the missionary discussions. And when I was done, they said, you know, okay, now we have to go to the district leader. And it's either the zone or the district leader, you know, and whatever mission they decide, you know. And so I was interviewed by the district leader to be able to get baptized. And I was like, okay, great. I'm good. Like I can, you know, I checked off all the boxes, right? I'm good. Like I can go now, right? And he's like, oh, no, you're a special case. You have to meet with the mission president.
Oh, okay.
Oh, mission president.
Mission president. So I go to the mission president's office and he starts having this interview with me, and all of a sudden, I realized that interview wasn't exactly what I had thought it was going to be. I thought it was maybe going to go and get accepted, like I was able to get clearance. But as I was talking with him, there was a lot of hard things that he came up with, because as looking back now, like I can look to see how, why he was doing this. But at that time, he wanted me to say that what my parents were doing was wrong. And at that time, I was like, well, if I say that they're wrong, that means I'm going against my parents.
Yeah, that kind of puts you
in an awkward position, right?
Tough position.
Yeah, and he was so set on me admitting that they were wrong. Mm. And he wanted to make sure that I was not going to waver, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if I realized that it was wrong, that I wouldn't waver.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't say that. I just could not say that. And finally he's like, well, I can't give you an okay to get baptized then. And so he's like, I want you to go home and think about this. And then come back and we'll have another interview. Wow. So I go back to the other interview. And of course, this time I am just sweating.
Did that make you resentful towards him at all? Or were you understanding of?
No, I think at the moment I was resentful because how can you ask a child to go against their parents? Right?
Yeah,
you know?
That's hard.
Now, like I said, as an adult, you can look back and reason differently, mm-hmm. right? But at that moment, there's a lot of just you don't understand right. a lot
you're
of
18,
stuff.
Yeah,
you haven't
you're
been
an
out
adult,
of the home very long.
Yeah.
Yes, and so
for like 5 minutes,
and they yeah. you know they raised me, and it's like you want to love and honor your family, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a natural instinct we have within us. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, I get there in his office and I'm sitting and he's like, have you thought about what we talked about? And I said, yeah, I've thought a lot about that. And I just want to let you know that I do not feel that my parents are wrong because of living that way. And I know that they chose that route. That's not the route that I'm choosing. But I don't feel that they're wrong for wanting to choose that. And anyways, he ended up giving me, he's like, and now I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to get my clearance now to finally get baptized. And he's like, okay, well, now I'm giving you clearance. Now you have to go meet with one of the general authorities.
Wow.
And I was like,
dang.
General authority? Like up there in Salt Lake City? Like, what in the heck are you talking about? I have to go meet with a general authority. So he gives me a number. It says they're planning on hearing from you. Call this number. They're going to schedule you an appointment to go meet with one. I don't know who you're going to meet with, but you're going to be meeting with one of the 12. And so I get up there and anyways, end up finding out that I'm having an interview with Elder Faust.
Wow.
And so I'm in there and I get into his office. Now I've had so much, you know, like setbacks and just emotional things that you go through just to get baptized. And now I am sitting in Elder Faust's office and I get in there and I was like, okay, I know that if he does
was
not
he,
approve
was
me.
Was he in the first presidency of the show?
This was right before. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And because you had gone to church since you were a kid, you were pretty familiar with who the general authorities were for the
yes.
most part, right?
Yeah, because like I said, that family that was down the street, whenever it was conference, they invited us kids to go down to their house and we would watch conference with them. And we were just very well educated because of that family. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, I'm sitting in there and he starts asking the questions that they ask. And it's like, hey, Sister Balding, I want to ask you, you know, do you have a testimony of Jesus Christ? You know, and he starts like talking about that. And yes, you know, and all of a sudden it's kind of like it changed. He just sat there for a second and he put the papers down and he just looked at me. And he said, Sister Balding, is it okay if I give you some advice? And I was like, yeah, I would love some advice. And he goes, I just want to let you know to always honor your parents. Always stay close to them. Always love them. They will be your parents forever. And I know you're going to go on to be baptized, But even though you are baptized, I want you to always love your parents. And I realized at that moment that it was Heavenly Father speaking to me, because here I had gone through so much turmoil to be able to get to the point to where I could get baptized, and being told that I need to say that they're wrong, and to be, and to also to feel like, just, you know, within the church setting, whatever, to, because people don't understand that, you know, it's like that I needed to not love my parents, that I couldn't be like they, I had to, it was just a hard moment in my life to be able to get to there and to feel like I needed to disassociate myself from my parents. Mm-hmm. But here I was sitting across from him and him telling me to always love your parents and to make sure that they're always in your life. And so for so many years, even after that, after I got baptized, you know, I went off to college and it was like, nobody had to know that story. Nobody had to know of where I came from, that I grew up in a polygamous family. Because you know what? I'm just like everybody else now. Mm-hmm. And as I started to live my life trying to hide that part of my life, even though it was an amazing experience looking back on now, that nobody, not that many people get to have these kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. I had just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And I just kept on feeling within me that I needed to tell my story. I needed to, but I couldn't. It was too hard for me to like come out and say it. And I ended up getting married into the temple, you know, married in the temple and having all these kids and stuff. And my husband, he had a little bit easier time to be able to tell my story, right? Because it wasn't him that had to live it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he ended up telling somebody one time, and I came to him and I said, "Hun, that is my story to tell. It's not yours. Please do not tell my story. When I'm ready to tell my story, I'll tell my story." And because I wasn't quite there yet. But then I was sitting in sacrament meeting one day, and there was a sister missionary that was up talking. By this time, I have 6 kids, and I have 5 boys and 1 girl. And they're all sitting on the bench, like the oldest is like 18. And so they, you know, I have like 4 boys first, and then a girl, and then a boy. And so these 4 boys are not wanting to really be in sacrament meeting, right? Mm-hmm. But the sister missionary was up there talking, and she talked about before she came on a mission that she was a model. Now, when I, as a young kid, and she's up there, young girl, says that she's a model, what do you think all of those boys did?
Listen real quick.
You've got my attention. I promise I won't even blink.
They turn their heads, and all of a sudden, they are looking straight.
The church is just so true in this moment.
I know. Exactly. And all of a sudden, it was like as the Spirit was speaking to me right there that said, "Liz, I also blessed you with a childhood that others would listen to you and you could help and serve my children." And I sat there for a second in sacrament meeting going, "What do you mean he blessed me with this childhood? What do you mean? Like, how could my childhood be a blessing? Look at all of the hard things that I went through." But then as I started to evaluate, okay, he said it was a blessing. What are the blessings in my life? What are these blessings that I got out of coming from a polygamous family? And I realized that I had these experiences that nobody had ever had, like meeting with Elder Faust. How is nobody's been, not that many people have been able to meet with a general authority, right? I also had where I saw the importance of now raising my kids when I move into a neighborhood, or, you know, what are these kids that don't feel like they belong? Well, now it's like all of my kids know that everyone comes to the party. It doesn't matter if they are members of the church or not. They are at my house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you had these experiences.
I had these experiences.
You understand that.
Yes, I understood how it is to be on the outside. And there were so many other experiences that I had in my childhood that now I could look back and see that this is what he's talking about as a blessing. And at that moment, it was kind of like, why did you, because for my whole life, it was like, why did you choose me? You know, like, why me? Why me? Why did I have to live this way, right? To all of a sudden, why did you choose me? And I realized because he had a great thing for me to share with the world. And that I had to go through all of these things so that I could become that person he needs me to become. And I wouldn't be that kind of a person if I didn't experience those things. And in that sacrament meeting at that moment, I wanted to just fall to my knees and ask for forgiveness. And not only ask for forgiveness from Heavenly Father, but from my parents. Because I had blamed them for so many years. But I realized, you know, I sit there and think about Heavenly Father said, you know, Liz, I need you to do amazing things while you're here on earth. And for you to do that, you're going to have to go through all of these things. And I'm going to give you parents that are going to live outside of the norm, because if you lived in the norm, you wouldn't experience this. And so I needed to then forgive my parents. I had to forgive my parents for blaming them for something that Heavenly Father wanted me to be in. And so now, because of that, I have stepped into a different role now of choosing to tell my story. I have a book coming out soon that's in the editing process called Becoming Me. And it's a story of my life and realizing that, you know, all of these things we experience in our life are truly a blessing. If we look at them as a, there's a blessing in everything that we go through. And we have to remember that. And so now it's like, now I get on a stage, we put on the largest natural health and wellness conference in Utah. And before, I couldn't do that. If I didn't come to the terms and realizing that what, how great my story was that Heavenly Father gave me, mm-hmm. and the things I can learn from it, I could not be on that stage now with showing who I am and the influence that I can be to so many different people. So it has been, I just love the fact that how our lives can change when we start coming from a different perspective, right. And looking at life in a totally different way.
Yeah, because we can easily just look at life, the cards we've been dealt, and just say why and leave it at that.
Yes.
But Heavenly Father has given us so much potential with those experiences. And you just explained it so beautifully. And we were just talking about, before we started filming, we were talking about how you do a couple podcasts and now you're building websites and you are just getting yourself out there, writing a book. It's so great.
It is.
Where can we find you?
So you can go to elizabethannwatt.com.
Okay.
That's my full name. That's where you'll find, like, you can go there and you can see, like, my book that will be coming out and things like that. You can also go to, if you want to know more about the conference that we put on, BeHealthyUtah.com, and you can see the amazing things that we do that's going on there. My podcast, I have two, like I said. One is called Bring the Light, where I tell my story and I tell about, you know, just like looking for the light in our lives, because we are all blessed with this light, and we all of us have this light that we can share with the world. So knowing how to increase that light. And then I have the Be Healthy Naturally one that I do with my husband, and we interview all people all around that are experts in their field of, like, you know, doctors or educators or experts, all on natural health and where to go to find how to get well and, you know, in a natural approach.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. We're so glad that you've been here, and I have learned so much from just how you talked about forgiveness, and it just made me think of the weight that must have been lifted
from
you.
Oh my goodness, that weight. Yes, that weight.
Yes.
You know, they talk about that in the scriptures, that the weight will come off of you, right? Mm-hmm. And it is so true to go from one moment to the next moment. And you realize that one moment the adversary is ruling your life. And the next moment you're allowing this Heavenly Father to rule your life.
Absolutely. Thank you again, everyone. If you have questions for her, please let us know in the comments, or if you would like to share any similar, I don't know, maybe someone has a similar experience, who knows? But anyways, we love you all and have a good day.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.